This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Hallelujah. We thank God for his mercies. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for how you have helped us this morning. We thank you for your manifest presence amidst us. We thank you for all that you are set to bless us with. We thank you. We say we thank you. Our hearts are open to receive all that you are ready to give. We pray for hearing ears. We pray for seeing eyes. We pray for hearing ears and seeing eyes. We pray for an understanding heart, O God. Bless us with an understanding heart. Help us to understand all that you have for us. And help us to profit with them. I pray that you help me with utterance. I pray that you help me to be properly aligned in the name of Jesus. Help me to bring forth the words as you intend them to be. Help me not to color them. Help me not to minister of my own self. Help me to fully lean on you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. All right, we've been studying this theme for the past 9 weeks. This is the 9th week. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Maintaining the Spirit-filled life, cultivating nature of love, and bearing fruit of the Spirit. And today, the topic we'll be looking at is building a Spirit-filled communion altar. Let's just take two texts, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. And Romans 14, 17 to 19. All right, 1, 2, go. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Romans 14, 17 to 19. 1, 2, go. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God, and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Can we say amen?
Amen.
We have two objectives here, two things we want to look at today. And the first one is we want to show how to engage a fervent and vibrant daily Spirit-filled communion relevant for nature formation and fruit bearing. And the next objective is to show the intricacies of the Spirit-filled devotion and quiet time. Quickly going into the introduction. The Spirit-filled fruitful life is one that must be built from the ground up and continually maintained on the altar of communion. No believer can be Spirit-filled or spiritually fruitful without becoming accustomed to and acclimatized with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the what? With the Spirit. A believer needs to keep close tabs with the Spirit and become acclimatized to him. Communion is where the believer learns the ways, thoughts, and mannerisms of the Spirit. The Spirit-filled believer routes all his actions through the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? And John 14:26 said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Communion makes a believer mindful of spiritual resources and opportunities for spiritual profiting. In communion, he is opened up to possibilities to attain and engage. while being strengthened by the resources and provisions made available through fellowship, such as breath, grace, wisdom, direction, and clarity. Can we say amen? Amen. Lastly, in the introduction, it says the Holy Spirit can prompt and intercept the believer for communion and interaction. And the believer can also call upon the Spirit for fellowship and communion. As believers, we must cultivate the culture of deferring to and seeking the guidance and leading of the Spirit. Isaiah 30:21 says, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way you should go. And Proverbs 3 says that, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he will do what? So directing of our parts, you know, stems from the place of, first of all, doing what? Acknowledging him. You know, while waiting on this manual, this introductory pass, one of the things that, you know, became clear is that becoming accustomed to the Holy Ghost takes time. A newborn believer might take a little while to come to that point whereby you are accustomed to the Holy Ghost. Why? Because of our senses. Now, when you see a newborn child in the natural, you know that that child does not have the capacity to recognize. How many of us knows that? He does not know who is who. Right? A newborn, 1 day old, 2 day old, 3 day old child cannot identify that this is my mother or this is my father, right? But after a while, when that child stays in the bosom of his mother and continues drinking milk, and you know, one of the things that about drinking milk is that you always have the proximity of engaging face. So, after a while of staying in the bosom of your mother for a while, you begin to identify that this woman is my mother. Right? So, when you see a child not wanting you to carry, you want, and the child is saying, it's because the child does not know your face. Same thing with the Holy Ghost. One of the things that, you know, the enemy has tried to do is to disengage baby believers from staying in the bosom of the Holy Ghost. So because of that, it becomes difficult to get accustomed to the Holy Ghost. It becomes difficult to identify the mannerisms of the person of the Holy Ghost. It becomes almost impossible to distinguish between other voices and when the Holy Ghost is speaking. Why? Because we have men that have been fed, you know, Pahagian calls it Blue John. You know, that particular thing makes it almost impossible to stay in the bosom of the Holy Ghost. Because why? Every new believer should stay in the bosom of the Holy Ghost. And it takes ministers to create that bosom. That's why for the early church, you know, what Jesus had done in the apostles was the ability they had to create that bosom around the church. So a believer that does not have that bosom around him will find it difficult to identify the workings of the Holy Ghost. He said, why? He said, we are supposed to learn the ways. Can we say ways?
Ways.
Can we say thoughts?
Thoughts.
Can we say mannerisms? Of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit.
Why? You know, because without having, you know, certain understandings, it will be difficult to identify how the Holy Ghost is working. Jesus, you know, chiding his believers at a particular point in time, said, you don't know what manner of spirit ye are of. And because you don't know it, your understanding of how he's working will be twisted. So when they began to say, Jesus, let us call down fire and burn these people, it was from a place of lack of knowledge of the mannerisms of the Holy Ghost for that dispensation. Now, the Holy Ghost in the dispensation of Elijah was able and worked in that manner.
But in the dispensation whereby the Son of God was walking the earth, the Holy Ghost was no longer walking in that manner. So that is why a person can be with Jesus, but he's still operating by another spirit. So they were with Jesus, but their conclusion, the thought they had, was being fetched from another understanding of a previous walking. So they were not up to date. So Jesus, you know, chiding them, say, you don't know the manner. So that is why you cannot box the Holy Ghost into, I begin to feel goosebumps on my right leg. That's how the Holy Ghost talks to me. Because if you feel goosebumps on that leg and it's not the Holy Ghost. You cannot box the Holy Ghost is that, when I begin to have tingling sensations in my head, that's the Holy Ghost. We must understand his mannerisms beyond physical feelings. Because if we box him into feelings, certain times you will come into church and you will not feel like praying. And because you don't feel like praying, you cannot say that is the Holy Ghost. You don't feel like talking to some people, but the demand of the Holy Ghost at that time is that you open your mouth by faith and you speak. So it is understanding the way the Holy Ghost works that will make us differentiate our feelings from the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you can lump everything up and say, it's just the way I'm feeling. No. Certain points, worship is going on and you are not feeling connected. But step of faith is you stand up and you begin to sing so that your feelings can catch up with your reality. So you are telling that feeling that you are not my reality. So the apostle said that I bring my body where? Under. Your body can lead you. But you can tell your body you are not my reality. See, mood swings is a result of a man not understanding the reality in the Holy Ghost. That the reality in the Holy Ghost is righteousness, what? Peace and what? Joy. So you can see somebody that is very happy right now because there's alert. And because somebody spoke a certain way, he withdraws. Some people, it's not even somebody that spoke. It's a spirit that spoke. Bringing a remembrance of something and then their mood changes. A spirit can talk to you and can change your mood. So what you are saying at that time is that I'm being led by this spirit. So becoming accustomed to the Holy Ghost is very important in ensuring that a believer can separate his reality from his feelings. To ensure that he can separate, his circumstances from the voice of the Holy Ghost. They said the word of God is powerful. Doing what? Sharper than, and he can do what? So there's a dividing that the Lord must help the believer to be able to do. We will not be able to do that until we are accustomed and acclimatized to who? To the Holy Ghost. Constituent of a spirit-filled, fruitful communion, altar, or devotion. Can we say amen?
Amen.
When you talk about, a spirit-filled communion altar, what are the things that should be there? What are the things that, allows for a free flow of transaction between you and the Holy Ghost? Because really, communion is transaction. When I mean transaction, I mean that exchange of thoughts. See, exchange of thoughts. Exchange of reasonings. Exchange of substances. That song that said, give me what? Give me what? Proof. Give me presence. That what? That let it show that I met with what? Certain men at certain points, in the book of Acts, it said that when they observed how they were speaking, their mannerism to life, it said, and they knew that these men were ignorant men, they were unlearned, in the education system of that time. But it said they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. The word. Say the word.
The word.
The major and primary element in communion is the word. For without it, there will be nothing to transact with in communion for a spirit-filled life. The word is alive and active, and it is the spirit's major tool and primary instrument for engaging a believer. Highlighted below are ways to engage the word. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy 4:13. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He said, till I come, give attendance to what? To what? To exhortation and to doctrine. There should be a dedicated time to read through the scriptures. For there is a blessing attached to it. Revelations 1:3. The blessed are they that read. Blessed is he that readeth. Through reading, the soul becomes familiar with the language, nature, and thought patterns of the scriptures. This steady exposure prepares the ground of the heart, after which the Holy Ghost can breathe understanding into the believer. Let's see what Apostle Paul told the Ephesian church, Ephesians 3, 3-4, just by reading. That how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, it's very funny that a man can dedicate his life to fasting and prayers. Fasting is not bad. It's still part of what we are going to read. Prayer is also, you know, an essential part in this. But you know that there's this my own syndrome that we have, that God should give me my own, whereby I want to have my own revelation. I want it to be said that it was as I was praying for 31 days. On the 31st day, the 6th hour, the 7th minute, Jesus walked into my room. And he said this and this and this. See, all those things, if they are not in alignment with what you are reading from what the apostles wrote, that is not Jesus. Why? Because God was so convenient handing a dispensation to a man and said others should read from that man. You don't understand. So, your access into certain understanding is as much as you can read that man. So, when you neglect that man, you are neglecting the dispensation. So, you can hear some people say, well, Apostle Paul magnified his office. But me, I know what God called me for. But reading is, you know, when I say reading, there is a whole lot of literatures to read. But we are tying this reading to scriptures. You know how funny it is that even to read scriptures, a man can read scriptures and not find the essence of scriptures. How do I mean? John 5:39. He says, some people say they search the scriptures, but they will not come to me. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which do what?
Testify.
And ye will know what?
Come to me.
Ah, my God. A man can be searching scriptures but not come to him. So, it must be at the back of your mind that the essence of reading, Apostle Paul said that when you read, you might have understanding of my what? My knowledge in the mystery of a person. It's not cramming scriptures. Yes, it's good to cram scripture so I can, okay, have it handy. But what Apostle Paul was saying is that by reason of reading, you're supposed to break into an understanding. See, scriptures is like a door that leads to a person. We can perambulate around that door, but not access that person. So, your reading of scriptures, it should be with a mind that I want to have access to a person. Why? Because these people were looking for life in scriptures, but they will not come to him. Hey, but the primary reason of the Holy Ghost, say
the Holy Ghost,
is to by scriptures open to you the way you can come to him. You know, scriptures testified of a particular man. They call him Apollos. They say he was mighty in scriptures, but he was one dispensation behind. A man can be mighty in scriptures, but he is not emphasizing the current emphasis of God. And it is still in scriptures that he's finding what he's talking about. So what he knew was the baptism of John. So Jesus had come. Jesus had died. Jesus had resurrected and was in glory. But there was somebody that by reason of scriptures was still in John. So when you hear certain people, you'll be like, oh God, how come this guy knows Bible so much? But when you, by understanding, you know, if they show you the calibration of his steps, you see that he's not yet in that current emphasis of the Lord. But he's mighty in scriptures. You know, when scripture says that somebody is mighty in me, then you need to know that this guy really is mighty. And when they say mighty in scripture, it was not mighty to Revelation. Because at that time, mighty to Revelation had not been written. So what he was feasting on was what? The prophets and the law. And they say it was mighty. He had understanding of it. But he was not in the current emphasis of the Lord. Acts chapter 19 also spoke about 12 disciples that were also in the dispensation of John. And when Apostle Paul met them, he said, verily, John spoke about the doctrine of repentance. And he said that those that, you know, are with me, that they should believe on him that is to come. So it was easy for them to transition from where they were into the dispensation of Jesus because they were faithful in scriptures. One thing that staying with scriptures will help you to do, when you have the right heart, it will help you to be able to transition quicker, faster and better, much more easier. You know, because when you look at the Pharisees, really, Jesus said that the reason why they were doing all that they were doing was for the praise of men. So a man can stay with scriptures for the praise of man. You can stay with scripture for personal advantage. You can stay with scriptures because of certain things, but you will not be able to pierce through into the scriptures because scriptures can close itself on you. That's why there must be a heart disposition to approach scriptures. In reading, say reading. That's why you must not read what, you know, the instruction we have. Just reading. Just read because, oh, they can call me to share something. Let me have something to share. When we don't have the right heart posture in reading, scriptures will be closed on us. So there is a heart posture a man must have, even in the place of reading. That's why the Holy Ghost is there. He is able to breathe upon scriptures. As I was reading, I was seeing that what they spoke about Apollos, they said he, by the scriptures, after he was being expounded the way of the Lord, you know, much more to him, you know, in a better light, they said he, by the scriptures, showed that Jesus is the Christ. Do you know what that means? You can, by scriptures, show something in Jesus. So, he was able to, by scripture, show that Jesus is the Christ. Showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ so that people can believe. But much more than this, do you know that this Jesus is the Christ is pregnant with many substances that they still need to now begin to open up to somebody? The sole archives portion of the scripture that have been read or heard through preaching, and this can be brought back to remembrance by the Holy Ghost at different times to communicate a leading. One primary reason why we also read, you know, is also to archive. Say archive.
Archive.
Your soul is an archive. How many of you have watched certain skits or read certain things in the past, and at unexpected times, they come back to your remembrance? For you to know that your soul, something that you feel you have totally forgotten, it just comes back to your remembrance. And like, how come? You know, that's why, you know, after a man has given himself to reading certain kinds of books, there are some certain kinds of books that Lord must help you not to read. Lord must help you to flee from. Because your soul is archiving things. By reason of reading certain books, you begin to see certain motions of sin arise in your members. Why? Because reading can connect to thoughts. And thoughts can activate things in your members. So when you see that chain, you will know that, you know, it takes a lot for a person to stay with scriptures and ensure that what you have in your storehouse No, because when they are bringing us to salvation, what they are doing as well, they are also purging out things we have in our storehouses. A person can be hearing the word, can be in such an atmosphere like this, but when they want to bring back what you have in your storehouse, that thing in your storehouse, by the time it rises up like this, it can control your members. When you see ladies that have read so much, or guys that have read so much romantic books, it becomes difficult to disengage from certain works of the flesh. Because by that thing just resurrects or comes out. So you be in church, you want to sing worship song, and a thought will just arise, and you'll be like, my God. You just feel dirty at that point, that God, what is this now? How come this thing is coming at this point in time? It's an archive in your soul. They're just showing you that you still have things on your inside that they still need to wash. That is why, you know, a person that trivializes reading of scriptures, it will be difficult to expunge certain dirtiness that is in the soul. Because it's by reading that they begin to expunge some things. Because why? It's law of replacement. They have to replace what you have inside with another thing. So a person that has stayed so much with materials that they have enforced things in his thoughts. But for those things to be delivered, there must be law of replacement. The Holy Ghost must begin to breathe upon scriptures that you can retain thoughts of the word in your mind. So when something is coming, you can, by speaking, reinforce another thing that you are bringing on your inside. Because the soul is like the promised land, that a part can be dispossessed, you have power, but then there are still other places that you have not conquered. Is it Joshua they told that you are old, but the land is still yet many before you? Your soul can be like that. You have conquered a portion, but there's still much more land to conquer. And what is in those lands? Say Jebusites. Gigashites. All those things are things that by reason of your work, you have acquired them already. Meditation. Reading and meditation, they go hand in hand. 1 Timothy 4:15. After that 4:13 that he said, give attendance to reading. He further moved into telling him to meditate on these things. Believers, there are things you must meditate upon. There are things that you must fight as though you are fighting a demon. No, you cannot stop a bird from passing over your head. But you can stop a bird from creating his nest on your head. Certain thoughts can fly through your atmosphere. You must be like Father Abraham. When he brought his sacrifice to the Lord, say certain birds, they were coming. They wanted to carry away that which God has instructed him to do. No, the reason why they call that seed, they say it fell by the wayside. By the wayside simply means there's nobody that's taking ownership of watching this ground. That's the meaning. Nobody has taken ownership of watching this ground. So when the seed falls into that ground, a bird can come and carry it away. But when there's somebody that has taken ownership, that this is my heart. Say, guard your heart. Oh my God. When a believer arises to that point and say, I'm ready to guard my heart. When birds are coming, you can stand up and say, not here. You cannot have your habitation in my airspace. My atmosphere is dedicated to the Lord. So I'm not going to permit you to stay. And so when certain thoughts begin to come to you, that is not the time to now sit down and say that's when you want to start reading your Bible. You that you have been using work of the flesh like masturbation. That thought now visits you and you say you want to sit down somewhere. Say no. Part of guarding your heart is that you run out of that room. So you tell your brethren that, guys, this thing wants to enter me again. This thing wants to defy my atmosphere. I don't want it. When you are passive, passiveness is a sign of acceptance. If you are passive with certain thoughts, they feel that you are okay with it. You must not be passive. It's at that point you start to shout. When you see birds coming, you don't wait until they perch on your altar. You must begin to fight them from afar. That is what shows that you really are mindful of guarding your heart. Because really, the strength of stronghold is your meditation. When thoughts become imaginations, begin to fantasize. By the time you are done, a deed has been produced. So you have to kill it from the point of thoughts. So as the birds are coming, you are saying, no, I'm not agreeing with this thing. You are fighting. You are accountable to somebody. Every day. Accountable. Because why? You don't want that thing to keep its hold, its grip on your soul. This is a deep time of reflection in thought and imagination where previously read, heard, or studied portions of scriptures are pondered upon for better understanding and ultimately obedience for profiting. Saints of old exercised themselves in meditation on the Lord and his laws. For instance, Isaac, Genesis 24, verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Can we say amen? Amen. You know, one of the things that the devil has done as well, he has introduced different traditions of meditation that are not scriptural. You see people say, just meditate, just make your mind blank. You know, you are not meditating to make your mind blank. You want to feel one inner peace. No. All those things are still teachings of evil spirits. Because really, your mind can't be blank. As long as what you are meditating upon is not the word of God. See, meditation should be on the word of God. Manoah's wife was also a woman of meditation. Judges 13:19a shows that as she was meditating in the field as well, the angel came to her and gave her instructions concerning Samson. It's 13:9. David was a man of great meditation. You know, in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that what? That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Say, but his delight is where? And in the Lord doth he do what? Meditate day and night. So men of old, Moses was a man of meditation. All those men were men that meditated on the law of God. But really, do you know that every man meditates? That what you meditate on is different. You can meditate on your life issues. You can meditate on issues. I'm just sighing. Say, Of course, what you are not meditating on the word of God. Because that thing, you're like, hey, my life. So they want to recall that we can meditate on the word of God. You know, so every man meditates, but what you meditate on is different. But there's a reculturing to meditate on the word of God. That place says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are what? Of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on this. So there are things a believer should think upon. So when you say, take no thought for tomorrow, when you begin to think of tomorrow, no, you would know that you will not be able to sustain a spirit-filled life. So there should be a continuous conscious effort to uphold doctrine in one's thoughts daily. This can be done during a dedicated time of personal devotion and as a continuous flow throughout the day. This is one way the hold of wrong and negative thoughts over a man can be broken. How you break them is a conscious upholding what you have read, what you have heard, what you have listened to. That's why there must be abundant supply of the word to the heart. The word must not be scarce to the heart of a believer. You must do all you can. One of the instructions I had then in breaking free from certain works of the flesh was that keep listening. Throughout the whole day, just plugged in. And you know, you can be plugged in, but you are not listening. Your mind does not want to stay in that place of you listening to message. It's not used to it. So when they say listen twice, you just put your ear, but you are not hearing nothing. You can be listening, but your heart is not engaging what you are listening. When ministration is going on, Holy Ghost inside you will begin to expand things much more to you. There are some things I've said that Holy Ghost will remind you of a scripture that you've read before. That, oh, okay, this buttress it is. You know, one of the things that shows the expression of the Holy Ghost is when you are hearing word. Holy Ghost is not quiet in those seasons. He's actively engaging you. Why? Because he wants to compare spiritual things to spiritual things with you. He wants to bring you to a point whereby you can, on a matter, you have a vast understanding of it. If there's anything the Holy Ghost desires, that you have understanding. Holy Ghost does not want to keep understanding away from you. But it's because of how we have approached it. We have been haphazard. You have not been intentional. You know, when you want to hear, there's just something that will just come to you. Before you know it, you are gone. And it's when message say, oh, let's begin to thank the Lord. Oh, I was even listening to something before. That you come to your senses. At other points, you'll be listening like this and you'll sleep off. You know, it's just to show us that really our mind is not yet acclimatized with it. And how you get your mind acclimatized is that when you wake up, you play it again. I will hear it again. And you'll be awake. You still slept again. Ah. When you wake up, you see the what? Hear it again. You know, the way to fight these things, but again, you know, the devil was telling him something. Okay, he was praying. I said, if you come and tell me this thing, I'll pray one more hour. And that thing came again, daring him. And he said, and he continued for another 2 hours. Ah. I said, now, say if you, I will see add one more hour. He did not stop until that thing. In fact, maybe that evil spirit was like, well, this guy is not okay. They just left him alone. No, the reason why we've not won certain warfare is that we've given up too quick. You've given up too soon. You've thrown in the towel. You are okay with it. You are not angry at the fact that the pleasure you are getting is not the Lord. That there are certain other things that can still give your soul pleasure. It should be a point of anger within you. That you can still derive pleasure from certain things that are not the Lord. Study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is a systematic and detailed approach to examining scriptures. This should be done from time to time as a routine and as instructed by the Holy Spirit on certain occasions. Different Bible translations, concordance. You know, some sisters believe that concordance is for men. That I'm not a pastor, and I'm not a pastor's wife. What do I need concordance for? My Gideon Bible is enough for me. This one is enough for me. It's just a thing of the world. That when you see somebody digging into the scriptures, reading, having fellowship, your mind, you'll be like, this guy is preparing for ministry. He's a pastor. But that is the life of a believer. No, the Berean Christians, they call them more honorable. He said, why? He said, after they had received the word, said they went to diligently search. They're searching those things daily, whether they were true. Not because they wanted to, you know, bring forth a rebellion or something. No, they just wanted to be assured of what I'm reading. So study can further establish your understanding on certain things. You've been hearing doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. You hear, you say, okay, they say there's word, there's doctrine. Okay, there's water, there's bread. Okay, and, you know, at certain point, Holy Ghost can inspire you. Okay, why not just check all the places whereby they spoke about this. Sit down with it. Take different translations. Take concordance. Begin to do a detailed... And this one is not because you just want to accumulate knowledge. It is directed by the Holy Ghost. It's because he wants you to be ready to have an answer. It will not be possible if we don't do some of these things. And it's not bad to have different Bible translations. NIV, NLT, the Message, all the different Bible translations. It's the Holy Ghost that will interpret to you. Hearing and hearing, Romans 10:17. A vibrant believer strives to continually hear until a new reality is formed in the heart. Hearing from ministers, from fellow believers, from the Spirit must be done repeatedly. Mark 4:24 said, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be what?
Believe.
So by this, I want to ask you a question. What are the primary ways of exchange in the realm of the Spirit? How do you receive? How do they give to you? Say, by hearing.
By hearing.
How does faith come?
By hearing.
See, truth is that faith does not come by hearing the word of God. Somebody looks up and says, this guy is saying heresy. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So faith is attached to hearing and hearing. So if you do hearing alone, faith has not come. So there is a secondary hearing that brings faith. This is when the Holy Ghost begins to bring substances to your heart. So a person can be in service like this, is hearing, but he's not hearing. Because at his hearing, he's not engaging the Holy Ghost to hear. So by when you are reading, it's also a means of hearing. You can be engaging and Holy Ghost will now begin to speak to you. That is your secondary hearing. to begin to bring instructions, commandments, direction, clarity, understanding. That is the secondary hearing. So how faith really comes is by hearing and hearing. So you must be dedicated to hearing messages again and again. Dedicated to hearing your brother. When you are fellowship with your brother, what do you discuss about? What's the basis of your fellowship? What's your basis of exchange? Because every discussion is an exchange. What are you exchanging with your brother? The second thing we are looking at after the word is prayer. James 5:16b. Prayer is effective and accurate when it is done on the premise of the light of the word of God. This is primarily engaging the spirit in talking to God and hearing from him. It is a two-way engagement and should not be treated as a monologue. Praying in the spirit, praying according to doctrine, praying epistle prayers, and all manner of prayer must be done as the believer keeps communion and engages the spirit. Ephesians 6:18. Praying all prayers and supplication in the spirit and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all sins. So there's something called all prayer. Prayer is not just a one-way traffic. Prayer is diverse. The Art of Prayer by Kenneth Hagin was showing the different laws that governs different realms of prayer. There's a prayer that, you know, a prayer of agreement, there's a prayer of faith that you pray once and stay in thanksgiving. And there's another prayer that is like that woman that kept disturbing the judge. She kept knocking, kept asking. And he said, because of the way this woman is disturbing me, let me avenge her of her enemies. There's also a prayer like that. And it doesn't mean that you don't have faith. But it's just the law that is guiding that prayer. The principle of that prayer is that you don't receive answers until you are tenacious in the place of prayer. Until you have continued in prayer for a period of time. There have been certain things that, you know, Pahagin, it will come to him, that urge to pray, and he will begin to pray. And he'll begin to pray. And he would pray through. It is when he prays through that the victory will be won. You know, because the reason why he's praying, the Holy Ghost will wake him up. Maybe somebody is in danger. Somebody is about to face something. And he was interceding at that particular point in time. And he prayed until he broke into a gusher. Until he had an assurance in the heart that this has been done. Imagine that kind of prayer. You just wake up and they say, there's something urgent. You say, Father, whatever it is, I commit into your hands. Let the person be safe in Jesus. And you go back to sleep. Issues will happen. Why? Because the law guiding that prayer is not that simple thing that you just uttered. The law guiding that prayer is that a person must intercede. A person must stand in gap. A person must be persistent until there's an assurance that victory has been gotten. There should be a daily dedicated time of devotion set aside for prayers. So you know, there's a difference between daily devotion and quiet time. So in daily devotion, there's prayer. But quiet time can be part of your devotion. Quiet time is that time whereby you are quiet before the Lord. Our Lord Jesus rose a great while before morning to pray. Prayer should be done without ceasing and made at every remembrance of the Lord. No, Jesus Christ did not just say that, oh, I'm engaging the Father every day. And he did not separate himself to pray. Yes, it was true. He said, as I hear my Father speak, so I speak. What I see my Father do, that's what I do. But yet, this same Jesus separated himself a great while before morning and prayed. He had communion. He had a particular time dedicated for engaging the Father. He had a particular time set aside. And for him, it was a great while before morning. Now, the psalmist also said in Psalm 5, say, in the morning will I, you know, lift up my voice unto you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 also makes mention that we should pray without ceasing. Let's shout fasting.
Fasting.
Daniel fasted. Our Lord Jesus fasted. Now, Apostle Paul also said that in fasting often. So one thing that we know about Apostle Paul is that he fasted what? Often. And he also said that in hunger. You know, he separated the two things. He separated in hunger, he separated in fasting often. He was not converting his hunger to fasting. Apostle Paul knew the time whereby there was no supply of a lot of things to eat. And he knew that this time is the time of hunger. He also knew the time of fasting. That there's abundance to eat, but I am deciding to stay off food. The fact that maybe you're in the season of your life that maybe it is 101, 001, or 100. I say, okay, let me just convert this thing to fasting. Just agree that this time is a time of hunger. When you say you are fasting, it really means that there's abundance of that thing. that you are denying yourself of. That's fasting. It can be food, and it might not be food. It's not when they steal your phone that you say you are fasting social media. There was a time in my life that they stole my phone. And it was because I was disobeying a commandment. They wanted me to fast that thing for a while. But I was always on it. Now, when they now took it, it now done that I can actually live without this thing. You know, when they took it, look as though my whole world had crumbled. It was as though I lost somebody. It was just a pain in my heart. A serious pain as well. Ah, I was not praying for the person that stole that thing. I saw that really, I can actually take clear of this thing. You can have your phone with you, but you have some time that you say that, okay, put your phone on flight mode. This period, I don't want to receive any notification, don't to receive any call. Some people argue that, oh, what am I, my job? They can always call me at any time. There's always a time you can do that. Now, you know that this guy, I just want to stay off this thing. It might be some kind of food, might be some kind of clothing. You might have money to buy certain kind of dresses. And Holy Ghost is telling you to fast it for now. Your wardrobe is still okay. So rather that money is for something else. It's not for this thing. They want to just change the wardrobe. And, you know, in your righteous mind, you'll be like, the ones there, I want to give them out. It's good. Yes, that is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But Holy Ghost can just tell you that, see, don't give it out yet. Don't buy another one yet. We can give out without buying another one. We can still give one or two, but still maintain this thing for now. Some people don't believe Holy Ghost can talk in that realm. But the only time where we have boxed him is when we are in church and we feel goosebumps. We don't allow him to enter into different areas of our life. So he can come in fasting because he ate soberness and repentance, which brings forth fruit of salvation. You know, a person can be fasting but not be sober. A person can be fasting and be aggressive because he's hungry. That's just hunger. Jesus said when you are fasting, you should rub oil. You should look fine. Nobody should even know that you are fasting. When you are fasting and somebody can look and say, ah, this guy is fasting, man. Then my brother, you are not doing, you are not fasting. You have gotten your reward already. When you are fasting, you should rub oil. Look fine. Nobody knows that you are doing anything. It's between you and the Lord. It's not at the point that, okay, you've been able to abstain for social media for maybe 3 days. The next opportunity you have is to tell your brother, guy, you can stay off social media. I have done it. Before you know it, you go back to that thing. Or really, you are not fasting. Nobody knows that you are doing it. Nobody even knows that you are doing anything, so to speak. But it is a transaction between you and the Lord. That is where that mindset of you and me alone comes in. Everybody, you are not doing it in front of men. You are doing it just the Lord alone. Heart search. Can we say heart search?
Heart search.
One way to sustain communion with the Spirit is consistently searching the heart and repenting of anomalies that are not aligned with God's will. This is the state of heart that is always endearing to the Spirit, being willing and desirous of pleasing Him. You know, heart search is very important. You can go a whole day, a whole week, a whole month without heart search, without reflecting. But really, it takes soberness to reflect. As long as you are constantly being filled with the wine of the world, you will not have the capacity to search your heart. What makes you sober and able to search your heart is that you are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that you are consciously acknowledging His presence. No, the psalmist shouted, he said, try me. He said, search my heart and see if there be any evil way in me. And lead me in. Because really, leading will not happen until we acknowledge the fact that there are evil ways in us. Your default state many times are evil ways. Until we come to that realization that I need to be led. This, my way of life, is not how it should be. Before you spin at night, you should be able to lie on your bed or sit down just to reflect. Engage the Holy Ghost. How has the day been? And He'll begin to point out things to you. You didn't say this well. You didn't do this well. You didn't act right here. And you begin to repent. You know, that repentance is you are telling the Holy Ghost that I want more of you. That shows that you are numbering your days. And not allowing any days to pass by frivolously. That means you understand the essence of a day. If you know what is packed in a day, the work God has put in a day, you sleep, you wake up, you see that ordinary. A day is a mercy for salvation. So when you see it like that, you will treat every day with respect. You will treat every day knowing that I can either acquire more life or lose life in this day. knowing that the days are evil. That's where redeeming the time comes in. Because you have an understanding that the days are evil. I cannot just go into this day anyhow if I don't want to fellowship with evil. It raises a guard. You know that the world is flowing with waters of the world. Say, but when the enemy comes like a flood, say the he will raise up a standard. That standard is first in the place of communion. You will not have standard if you are not in the place of communion. The world will come and sweep us off our feet without standard. Ministering to the Lord, a rich communion, fellowship, and interaction with the Lord also involves the believer ministering to the Lord by the Spirit. He sings, dances, makes melodies to the Lord, offers psalms, hymns, thanksgiving, songs of adoration, and more while in communion with the Spirit. Now, there is something that is very rampant. Believers can play worship songs, but they cannot sing. It's just like that. Is that minister that is singing? I see singing to the Lord. But the reason why we have all those things is so that you can sing. Say, I must sing.
I must sing.
I must be able to sing to the Lord.
I must be able to sing to the Lord.
Sometimes it's a spontaneous song. Sometimes it's even an already known song that comes with a fresh breath. A fresh understanding. One thing that I knew that they do in heaven so much is that they sing. Every time they are singing, there's a lot of song going on over there. And if you can tap into the Spirit, you will have a song. One of the reasons why I like playing songs overnight or listening to the word overnight, because your soul is not sleeping. What is sleeping is your body. Your soul is very active. And sometimes in your being awake, you want to force the soul to do certain things. The soul is not wanting to do it. But when that body is asleep, the soul is also limited. So you can enforce certain things just by playing a message over and over. Over the night, some things are dropping into your soul. That when you wake up, you can wake up in that mind. So don't let your nights just go like that. Don't just sleep and see yourself, you know, repeating certain action movies that you've watched. Quiet time. The believer must always remain in a state of hearing the Spirit. A specific time must be set aside for the believer to stay still and hear the Lord. You know, that place of remaining quiet and staying still to be able to fetch, you know, inspiration, direction, clarity. You know, that minister said that it is wise during your quiet time to have your book and your pen by your side. Because that place says, I will see what he has to say to me. They say, write the vision. Make it plain. So, if they are speaking to you and you don't have writing materials, you won't be able to write it. So, you must have your book and your pen beside you. It shows heaven that I'm ready. I want to hear, I want to write. I want to receive from you so I can pen it down. I want to document your voice. Devotion and quiet time. Every believer must commit to a dedicated time and place to specially hear and relate with the Spirit. These are the believer's deliberate separation of time, thought, and heart to see God, hear Him, and align with His will. They are not just a mere religious routine, but rather a living fellowship that nourishes the soul and strengthens the spirit. Now, let's look at what devotion is. Devotion is the believer's consistent dedication to nurturing fellowship with the Spirit. It is sustained by diligent study of the Word, earnest engagement in prayer, and may include fasting as a means of drawing nearer to God, including others as listed above. While quiet time is a deliberate withdrawal from distractions, set apart to hear from and meditate with the Holy Spirit. It is the believer's sacred moment of separation to commune with God in stillness. Every believer must have a quiet time. Yes, we are engaging the Holy Ghost every time. You know, we are seeking to hear His voice. At every remembrance of prayer, pray. But there must be a dedicated time with the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things that Babylon will do is that they want to choke you and give you the excuse that you don't have time. But really, one of the reasons I know that there's time, that I know that really sleep can be nothing, is in the situation of an emergency. In the face of emergency, we know that you are not tired. But the Holy Ghost can supply more power to your body. It has just been because we have not desired it. We have not gone to that place of Holy Ghost. I want to be able to have this time with you. I know my body is tired, but you can strengthen me. You can strengthen my body. If not, you always stay in that place of excuse. I'm always busy. If you look at my schedule is this. My brother. If by 1 a.m., you open your mail and you see termination mail. All that sleep will disappear. Maybe you plan to go to that work and be on time. You need to know that job is Holy Ghost that is sustaining it. Building and cultivating a fervent devotion time, like what we've said, there are deliberate steps to guard, cultivate, and sustain this fellowship. You must have a specific time and place where you have your quiet time. You must have it. You know, there have been times I've woken up and there's really nobody that woke me up. I set alarm for that time, but 2 minutes to that time, I woke up. Then you know that really, it was not the alarm that is waking you up. Alarm that I've set time that I'll wake up by this time. First alarm rang, second rang, third rang. By the time I woke up, all the alarms have exhausted themselves. So when alarm rings and you hear alarm, know that Holy Ghost is in it. Yes. Praying all manner of prayers. We must ensure that we are praying. And one of the things that Pahagin taught in the book, you know, our tongues beyond the upper room, is that the manner of prayer to pray per time, per season, is with the Holy Ghost. You know how to instruct your heart. You know, there are certain times that what you need are words of declaration. What you need are words of praise and thanksgiving. At some point, there are prayers of warfare, prayers of intercession. But it is the Holy Ghost. So if you are not accustomed to this Holy Ghost, how are these things going to be possible? We always miss out on what the Lord wants us to do per time, per season. Reading and meditating on the word. You know, the apostles said that we must give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. Now, at a certain point, they said that the word of God grew and multiplied. When they say the word of God grew, it's not that the number of people increased. There is a way the word can grow. Because the word is the understanding of things in a person. So when they say the word is growing, you are having an increased understanding of the person of Jesus. So, and it is at different levels that this word can grow and multiply. It can grow and multiply. And it can grant you access even into different dispensations. Because Jesus is layers of dispensations. When you look at Jesus, what makes him up is from the very least dispensation to the highest. That's why we can by him come to God. So from the start to the finish, what you are learning are things inside Jesus. But who is responsible for showing it is the Holy Ghost. Listening in silence, we must create room to hear the Spirit's impression and instructions. Writing and keeping notes, must ensure that we always have our notes. Maintaining consistency, guarding the practice until it becomes a lifestyle. You know, one of the greatest warfare of a believer is that warfare of consistency. Yoruba calls some things, die tomorrow, resurrect today. You know, one of the things that we must fight, trust God, heaven for is consistency. Whereby we are consistent with our devotion and our quiet time. Like when we look at Elijah's case study, how to raise a spirit-filled communion altar. Old patriarchs of old, whenever God meets with them, they raise an altar. Look at Elijah. He offered at the time of the evening sacrifice, keeping to time with the spirit. See, when you have a personal time, a personal altar, Lord will wait for you. And when you are not there, like, this is our appointed time. He begin to nudge you this time. Keep it. And you know, that heart shows a heart that's always in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He ordered the altar. We must be deliberate and orderly in our approach to and during the communion with the Spirit. This begins with believers ordering his life to make room for fellowship and interjection of the Spirit. He dug trenches round about, speaks of boundaries and consecration. A believer must keep in order to sustain a vibrant altar. Consecrations can be as literal as making a vow unto the Lord and keeping unique tailored obediences and raising personal standards of righteousness before him. He had sacrifices. A burning altar is built upon the foundation of sacrifice, not on convenience or comfort. Believers who desire a powerful communion and spirit-filled life must be willing to pay the price. Such a believer must be ready to shift grounds, lay aside personal comfort and pleasure, and choosing instead to give attention to the demands of the Spirit. No, whenever they say that there is a sacrifice or an offering to be offered on an altar, do you know that there are animals that they use? So it is a person that brings that animal, right? So you will say that that animal belongs to that person. But in the real sense, who created that animal? So your sacrifices must also be worked by God. So meaning that what you are to give to God must be as a result of communion. Look at Abraham. He said, how can I be sure that these things will be true? Then God now told him, bring me this. So it is in that place that you begin to enforce the strength of your altar. You begin to receive things, instructions, commandments, obediences that will make you have, you know, a further advancement in the Lord. The poured water. Water is the type of the word. And it takes the abundance of word, you know, to have a spirit-filled life. Like what we thought some weeks back, you know, they kept pouring water into those big buckets until they were full and they turned into wine. The word forms the bond for healthy fellowship, shaping the believer's expectation and alignment with God's will. The Holy Spirit will not act contrary to the written word, for it confirms and quickens it in the believer's heart. Then fire consumed the altar. This signifies the Lord's appearance of a well-raised altar. Lord will always appear when the altar is well-raised. When the heart is always in alignment, fire will always fall. There are things that the Lord cannot resist. There are things their believers, the Lord cannot resist because of the altar of their hearts. When the altar is well raised, the Lord will always come. That's why he said that he puts away the proud, but he gives grace to who? That grace is an ability to always keep coming closer. And that's who the Lord wants. Conclusion, a raised altar of communion, when a spiritual resource is trampled upon, causes the profiting of the believer to appear openly. Such a life manifests in a spirit-filled walk, with the clear evidence of a strong love walk, fashioned by the guidance and leading of the Spirit. The believer who faithfully keeps his altar burning becomes fruitful, visible, and exemplary in character, shining forth the love nature of the Godhead. Can we just thank God for this lesson?
Hallelujah. This is already lesson 9, and it's very, you know, important for us to trust God that at the end of this particular thing, you know, something has changed about us. We are closer to the Lord, even by the Spirit. You know, the topic for today is building a spirit-filled communion altar. Altar is actually where God meets man. So meaning there is a very little measurement of how much of God you can actually trap when you are in the midst of a lot of people. But when it comes to being personal with the Lord wants you to have an altar for him. And you see, we should see our relationship with the Lord like the relationship between a man and a woman. For instance, there are things we can do in our relationship. Why? Because that room is our altar. So many of us, we meet the Lord outside. So it's limited to how much of himself he can pour into us. So our relationship is public. So when you come to church, you pray well, you dance well, but your relationship with the Lord is not personal. And that was what Jesus was saying. He said in that day, they will say, Lord, we did many mighty works, but he said, I did not know you. The scripture says, and Adam knew his wife, not in the public, is actually in private place. And that is the place of altar. And that's why you see saints of old, they cherish it. They have understanding that anywhere they meet with the Lord, they raise an altar. Because that is the meeting point. That is actually where God can intercourse with us. So without an altar, there's still a limitation to our relationship. So we are still knowing the Lord from afar. So it is possible. You can even be a minister of the gospel, but you don't have a sure altar. You live your life as it comes. You know, the consistency of a spirit-filled life, you know, communion, talking about devotion, said you become what you think on. But the place of meditation, to meditate also means to chew over. You know, the word of God is actually bread. Imagine you eat bread and you just swallow it. That is actually what some of us do when we don't meditate. We are not chewing the word. So meditation gives us teeth to chew the word. So meditation is the teeth to chew the word. You ruminate over. You chew it over so that you can consume it well. And it can be useful for the soul. And also, many of us, the things we think on are not even things of the word of God. Many of us, we are still living in perpetual fear, uncertainty, depression. It's because of what you are meditating on. Each time you keep malice and you are nagging, you are actually thinking on certain things. You are thinking on what the person has done to you that is wrong. And there is no way you find a place in your heart to forgive and let go. So what you meditate on, you know, at times there's a way you even meditate so much that you are thinking of, if she said this, I will say this. You are playing a movie in your mind. You are meditating on what has not even happened. And you react, you know, from that standpoint. So we also become what you think on. If you think on the word of God, you will be able to live by the word. But if you don't meditate, you don't think on the word of God, there is no way you can live by the word. You will always be living by the traditions of men that you are accustomed to. Another thing about study, it is expedient that we know how to study. Because God has a lot of things to tell us. Times to study also, you may just probably study, you can choose a Bible character you want to study on. For instance, you want to study the life of David, or you want to study a particular subject matter. You know, the emphasis of the season also should give us a nudge of what you should study on. You know, when you study on, you see that this is the emphasis of the season. For instance, you know, at the beginning of the year, the word of the Father is gradually opening unto us. Have you labored to even know, okay, what is it about the Father? So it is very, so that when we come together, you are not flat. So it's also very good because those are the constituents of our altar. So we have things to go to the altar with, because Holy Ghost will not talk, you know, beyond the word of God, because those are the boundaries. In book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, Apostle Paul said, I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. You know, praying in tongues is not equal to praying in the spirit. You can pray in tongues, but you are thinking of how to tie your shoe, the lace you need to buy, the pepper you need to go to the market for. But you can pray in tongues to be able to pray in the spirit. And you can be praying in English language and you are praying in the spirit. When Jesus said, not my will, but your will, he was actually praying in the spirit. So to pray in the spirit is you pray to a point whereby Holy Ghost is holding you to pray the will of God. The scripture says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that we do not know what we should pray for. Or even how we ought to. At some point, Jesus groaned. That was a kind of prayer. So it's very important. Fasting also. What brings pleasure to your flesh? You know, those are the kind of fasting. And also, it's good to fast, you know, food. Even when you have food, you keep it. You fast for some time. Jesus fasted. Say devotion and quiet time. Great believers don't joke with devotion and quiet time. Many people go to mountains to cry, God, use me. But they don't have a quiet time. They don't have a devotional life. Moses, in the book of Exodus chapter 34, verse 1 to 3, Moses had a quiet time. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, yield thee two tables of stones like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. Said, and be ready in the morning. So you can't have it in Molwe, where everywhere is noisy. Or you are coming back from work. That is when you want to have your own devotion. We all know that you end up sleeping off because you are tired. So it is good that our devotion, our quiet time is actually done in the morning. Before activities of the day will start. It's good to start with the Lord. We can also see that also, you know, even in the life of David, God instructed Joshua also. John chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. Jesus also had quiet time. The scripture says, when Jesus had spoken this word, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he what? He entered and his disciples. So Jesus had a place also. So, you know, in your room, you can create a place where you have your quiet time. Maybe it is time you get a chair that you can sit in your room. Hallelujah. If your sitting room will be noisy for you in the morning, maybe because of a lot of activities. And if probably you sit on your bed, sit and ensure you have what? A quiet time. A quiet time is a time whereby you are quiet. God wants to talk. Prayer time. You can start with prayer. You can start with worship, because those are actually how you set your altar. You are setting your altar, but God has something to say to you. Imagine a man that God always says something to every day. You will never remain the same. You know, there are some natures that you don't know that they are not good. There are some natures that are still at their potential state. They are not manifesting yet. And those things, they can destroy your life. It is that place of quiet time, that place of devotion, that God can begin to pinpoint things. The way you are doing this, you can do it better. I want you to stop doing this. I want you to do. You see, our daddy in the house has a very rich, and our mommy, they have a very rich quiet time and devotion life. And that is why it's clear. If you come to this church, in 6 months, you will know you are changing. You know you are moving forward. Why? Because the set man, God's handmaiden, they are constantly receiving words from the Lord for our building up. So if we also can collaborate, one of the ways we collaborate with them is to do what they are doing. Quiet time is not negotiable if you want to journey well with God. That is the place of strong intimacy and communal life. Without having quiet time with the Lord, you will live a reactive life. You'll just be reacting to life. You receive direction even in your quiet time. The way you are doing your business is still not the best way to do it. The Lord can lead you in that. And he's the best consultant. Imagine, God of heaven and earth is the one consulting for your business. There will always be a difference. So we are wasting a lot of resources by not having quiet time, whereby we allow the Lord to speak to us. It's very, very expedient. Moses also was a man of communion with quiet time and two tables of stones. When you go to your quiet time, don't just go with your hand being folded. You should go with your two tables of stones. That is two notebooks. One is for teaching, understanding, breath. God wants to teach you. Yes, you might have heard the word. You might have read a particular portion of scripture. God also can expound the scripture to you. Holy Spirit also wants to teach you. So there should be a book for that. Then also, you should have a book for instructions and commandments. Many of us, God has said 1,000 things, but we've forgotten 1,000 things. But if you write them down, you'll be able to go back. So the place of devotion, the place of quiet time, God has things to say. Both to teach you and also to give you what? Clear instructions. Talking about the analogy of Elijah, say he offered at the time of evening sacrifice. Meaning there must be a particular time that you meet with the Lord. Until you set that specific time, that when you miss that time, you feel you've missed something. You are yet to have a quiet time. You are yet to have that set time. There should be a set time that is consistent. And over time, it will become an habit. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Lastly, I would like to say that obedience is actually my walk in the Spirit. So if I'm not obeying these things that I'm being taught, then it means I'm not walking. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Can we just respond to the Lord this morning?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.